All right, so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to talk about the proper use of the gifts. I'll also talk about tongues. Make sure I'm there. So has anybody here ever heard tongues, like in church or in a prayer setting? Eileen, anybody else? Okay, so a couple of us. Paul talks about the proper use of tongues in this chapter, and towards the end he talks about not making it chaotic, using all the gifts together at once. And I have a video that shows kind of what it's like when everybody's praying in tongues at once. So we can play that real fast. What's going on with the chaos of everybody using tongues at the same time? I mean, does anybody have the gift of interpretation? Anybody know what they're saying? And even if you did have the gift, could you isolate one of them versus another? So that's kind of why he gets into the proper use of the gifts. So let's pray real fast and we'll go into the chapter. So Lord, just thank you for this time that we could just be here just getting into your word. I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, God. Help us understand your word, and just thank you for this time of being here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we'll start 1 Corinthians 14. We'll do verses 1 through 5. So, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So he starts off saying, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It doesn't say avoid the spiritual gifts. You know, it doesn't say, hey, stop speaking in tongues. You know, nor does it say overuse them. So, like I said, he's going to clarify the proper use. But it was reported that the church of Corinth was misusing the gifts, so Paul was writing this letter to address them and how to use the gifts. So, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Does anybody remember what it means to prophesy from 2 weeks ago? Okay, basically it means to share the heart of the Lord with the congregation. Okay, so in verse 2 he kind of clarifies tongues versus prophecy. So he says, for he who speaks in tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So, he who speaks in a tongue isn't speaking to men, but to God. So, unless you have the gift of interpretation, we wouldn't have a clue of what you're saying. But, it says in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, what is speaking in tongues? Does anybody have any idea what it is? Okay, so speaking in the tongues is, it's a heavenly language. It's the Spirit speaking through you to God. It's him giving praise and adoration to God. So at the same time, if you're in a church service and somebody's speaking in tongues and then somebody gets up to interpret and says, okay, this is what he's saying. He's saying, God wants you to do this. God wants this and that. He's speaking more so prophetically. It's an incorrect interpretation because it would more so be like, hey, like God, you are awesome. God, you're great. It's adoration to God, not so much prophecy. Or speaking prophetically versus prophecy is God speaking to the congregation. And we'll get into an example in that a little bit. But so tongues is prayer language that is between you and God, typically for self-edification and edifying God. while prophecy is words spoken to the congregation for the edification of everyone there. So, and then at the end of verse 2, it says, however, in the Spirit makes ministries. So, Paul writes in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So if you've ever been in a really difficult circumstance, you know, like you just have a really difficult decision in front of you and you don't know what to do and you don't even know how to pray or like what you should be praying, sometimes the Spirit just prays through you. So it might come out as groanings or it might come out as an actual tongues, you know, just the Spirit's praying through you. So, but the cool thing about that is if the Spirit's praying through you and it's real, you know that the Spirit's going to pray with what is in line with God's will. So it's kind of cool knowing, like, I don't even know what the correct choice is, but the Spirit does. The Spirit has all understanding and understands all mysteries, so he can pray through me understanding what God's will is. So in verse 3 it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So when you're prophesying out loud to the whole congregation, you're edifying the whole body. You can speak for edification, which is the Lord building up the body. Exhortation, through which God gets you going. And then comfort, which is like God wrapping his arms around you, like just comforting you. So, and then verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And this is kind of a thing that Paul keeps hammering on, telling these people. This is the difference between tongues and prophecy. That tongues is for you, while prophesying is for the entire body. So, and remember in the beginning, he doesn't say don't use either. He says, you know, use them, but don't overuse them. So, verse 5, I wish you all spoke tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So, some churches will teach that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a born-again believer. So, I don't know if you've ever heard that, but especially more so along the lines of the Pentecostal churches, which that video is most likely of a Pentecostal church, where they're very into speaking in tongues and all at the same time, or even just praying at the same time, and it seems a little bit chaotic. But that's like saying if you can't prophesy or if you can't heal people, you're not a believer. And is that necessarily true? No, I mean, we talked 2 weeks ago about the different gifts God gives us, and he's going to give us all unique gifts, and even if you have a similar gift to somebody else, it might be used in a different way. Like I say, God gives me the gift of teaching, or Peter the gift of teaching. We're going to teach very differently. Same gift, just used very differently. Same thing with other gifts. I mean, but if you've ever heard that, that's just a lie, that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not born again. So just kind of ignore that. So, at the same time, is it possible for all believers to speak in tongues? What do you guys think? Yes, maybe? Maybe? Okay, so, it is. I mean, it is possible for all believers to speak in tongues. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to. I mean, just as we had talked, God's going to give you the gifts as he wills. So, it's something that you can pray about, though. Like, God, give me the gift of tongues. I'd really like to just edify my spirit and be able to pray that way to you, especially in private, you know. So, and praying in the Spirit will build up the faith, but will have no impact on you unless it's accompanied by interpretation. So, prophecy, however, speaking forth to hear the Lord through words, edification, exhortation, and comfort has a powerful impact on others. So, an example of just a random prophecy I picked out was Jeremiah 29:11-13. It's a pretty common passage. So it says, for if I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that's one we've all heard before, right? But does anybody remember when Jeremiah was saying that to the people of Israel? It was as they were being taken into captivity. So Babylon was coming in, taking them into captivity, and God was giving them a prophetic word, letting the Israelites know his heart towards them, saying, hey, I know you're going into captivity, but I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. This is not evil towards you. It's not, it's going to work out for the better for you. You know, it's to give you a future and a hope. And you'll call on me, and you'll find me. You seek with all your heart. All right. And we'll go into 6 through 19. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. So it's through the words of doctrine or revelation of prophecy that we will grow. If I start speaking a language that you can't understand, it's the equivalent of somebody just jumping behind a piano and just like tapping random notes. It's not really going to be music. It's not really going to make any sense. And in verse 8, he gives reference to a trumpet. For if the trumpet makes uncertain sounds, who will prepare for battle? So a lot of times in past history, a bugle was used to basically call out to the military. It would let the military all know at once what was going on, whether you could signify, hey, time to get up, time to go to bed, or hey, prepare for battle. So if the bugler gets behind the bugle and just starts blasting out random notes, military is going to be lost. They're like, I don't know what's going on. Like, are we going to battle, or are we supposed to be resting? Or, you know, there's no interpretation. Nobody knows what's going on. So in verse 9, so likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. So if you're going to be speaking in tongues in a church setting without interpretation, you might as well just be talking to the air. So nobody's going to understand, and there's really no point. So in verse 10 through 11, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world that none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So if you go to another country, say we go to Mexico, and they're speaking Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, does that mean that their language is insignificant? Not necessarily. I don't understand it, but everybody else there might. So that's what he's saying. Kind of going on the same idea of understanding language and having interpretation. And then verse 12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So you're zealous for the spiritual gifts. Good, says Paul. But seek after the gift of prophecy, speaking to the people and in the spirit in which language they can understand. So it'll edify the whole body. And then 13 through 14, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So if you're going to speak in tongues in a church setting, pray that you or someone else present may interpret. So it's possible that if you have the gift of tongues, you might not have the gift of interpretation with it. But somebody else present might. You know, I know some people have the gift of interpretation, and they hear tongues, they can interpret for the whole body. So then verse 15. So what is this conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So Paul says here, I will. Some say that if it's for me to edify the Spirit, I'm open to speaking in tongues. They might seek for you to lay hands on them, that they might pray in tongues, or they might be in a position where they're sincerely waiting on the Lord, but nothing's still happening. So then they'll sit in frustration and basically be saying, I just want to express my love to the Lord in this unique way, but nothing's happening. And they might believe that somehow they're going to go into some kind of trance, that they're eyes are going to glaze over white, their tongue is going to start flapping around, and just like random words are going to start coming out. But Paul says, I will pray in the Spirit. It's a choice that you make. So it's not like you're just going to sit there and, you know, tongues are going to come over you and you're going to go in some weird, like, demonic trance, like, you know, some weird movie you might have seen. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So the word amen simply means so be it. So a lot of times you might hear if somebody's giving like a sermon, people are like, amen. Like, amen, brother. You know, stuff like that. Or even while like a bunch of people are praying, people might be saying amen while the person's still praying. It's not like they're trying to end the prayer early. It's just that they're saying in excitement, like, hey, so be it. So, but how can somebody say amen to something they don't understand? Okay, and then verses 20 through 25. So, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, and the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are all out of your mind? But if all prophecy, or if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So in verse 21, it says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. So in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord said, as my people turn their back on me and become cold towards me, they will hear the tongues of other nations with when foreigners invade their land. So, and this came to actually happen, it was fulfilled in Isaiah 28, when God's people had grown indifferent towards him, and the Assyrians were allowed to occupy the land. So, some believe that because of this historical reference, some translate what Paul says here when he says that tongues are a sign for unbelievers, that he's not referring to unbelievers such as the Assyrians, but rather the believers who have grown indifferent or callous towards the Lord. He's speaking to those who don't believe in the present power of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to those who says God's not working today. God doesn't use miracles anymore today. You know, God doesn't perform acts of healing or, you know, tongues and stuff like that. It's not a thing for this era. It's in the past, it's in the Word, and now it's done. Some translate what Paul's saying here as it's for that kind of unbeliever. So somebody who is a believer in Christ, yet doesn't believe that God's currently working in the same way that he has been. And then, again, 23 through 25. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speaks with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, they will not say that you are out of your mind. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in and he's convicted by all, he's convinced by all and convicted of all. And thus, the secret of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So Paul's just, again, clarifying the difference between using tongues and prophecy, where tongues all being used at once, like that video I showed, could be chaotic. And somebody who's never been to church or is a young believer might come in and say, like, you guys are nuts. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're all praying in this weird language at the same time. It's chaotic. You're flopping on the floor, you know, or making animal noises. You're just doing random stuff. I don't know what you guys are doing. But if somebody's prophesying and edifying the whole church, that might touch them. It's something they can understand, something God can use to actually touch their hearts. Okay. And then 26 through 40, so to the end. So how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in a turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, and all may learn, and all may be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of his saints. So, if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So that's saying, if you're in a church environment and somebody's speaking in tongues and there's nobody there to interpret, that they should kind of sit back down and then just use the gift, but use it maybe in their own setting at home or in a setting where there is an interpretation. And then verse 30, if anything is revealed to another who sits, let the first keep silent. So what he's kind of saying there is don't monopolize the time. Like, don't stand up and start prophesying and just keep prophesying and just keep saying the same thing over and over again and let nobody else have a turn. You know, maybe there's somebody else who has a word to share, and if they have a word to share, let them have their turn and you just sit down. You know, so it's kind of like saying take turns. And then 34 through 35. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as to the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. So, ladies, keep quiet. You can't talk. So, and obviously that's not what that's saying. So you have to understand the cultural background back then. The Church of Corinth followed the Jewish tradition of men sitting on one side of the church and women sitting on the other side of the church. And the word speak here is translated in the Greek as laleo, meaning chatter or to interrupt. So what he's saying is he's telling women not to interrupt the teaching by yelling across the room, "Hey, honey, what's this guy talking about?" It's like, hey, like, don't be interruptive, you know. But instead, go home and talk to your question. Ask your husbands at home. And for you ladies, whether you're married or not, you guys are going to be married in the future. Go home, ask your husband's questions. It will encourage him to dive into the Word and be a spiritual leader. Maybe he knows the answer, maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't, he can get more into the Word and just start diving into the Word. So it's also a good thing in marriage. So, and then verse 35, "For it is shameful for women to speak in the church." So, some of you guys might remember a woman by the name of Deborah. She was once used in Judges. She said, "Barak, if you don't lead your men into battle, the glory of victory will eventually go to a woman." And what she said was true, because it happened. No man would step up, so God used Deborah in man's place. So when Paul says that it's a shame for a woman to speak in church, it could be translated as he's referring to the lack of leadership by men. The church is in a sad state when men are too carnal, weak, or unwilling to step up and do their part. So God has and will bless women for filling in, but it's not his ideal situation. And then 36 through 40. "Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." So I kind of like how he sums it up in the end. He's basically saying, things must be done decently in order, but let things be done. If you remember earlier in the chapter, he'd said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all." So even Paul had spoken in tongues, you know. So he's not saying here, don't speak in tongues. And, you know, it might not be seen as much in this church, but if somebody was speaking tongues, we would go by what the Bible says, and hopefully there would be an interpreter. If not, you know, then that person would hopefully sit down. But just to sum it up, use them in order. Don't let it be chaos. You know, if you want the gift of tongues, you can pray for it. You know, it's kind of an awesome gift to have. It edifies your spirit as you pray to God and speak adoration to God. So, cool. Let's pray. And then, like we typically do in a talk, we'll break up into our small groups, or just guys and girls, and just, you know, share and pray with one another. Lord, just thank you for your word and just clarifying to us just more about the gifts, God. I just pray, God, that you would just use us each in a unique way, that we'd look for opportunity to be used by you, God, that you'd fill us with your spirit and just work in and through us in church and our family lives, work lives, school lives, and just every situation possible, God. And we just pray this in Jesus Christ's name.